Welcome to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. You can find us on the web at lifechurchboston.org. God's Word is taking off from where you are right now and rising to build you up on the way to your destiny. Let's climb on board.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Crystal, for sharing those beautiful songs and for our time together in our fellowship moment. Let's just pray as we prepare now to get into the Word of God for this morning. Lord, we thank you for today. We do thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you for being here with us. We pray that you will guide us as we engage together with your word and in discussion. Have your way, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. I trust everyone is staying safe and warm today. So glad so many of us could join us today on Zoom. And I'm gonna share my screen as we are continuing with part two of our series this morning. And our series is based on Luke chapter 23. And we are looking today at part two of Luke chapter 23. And we've titled this series, Jesus the Righteous King, and this is part two. So this is part two of our series, Jesus the Righteous King. So today we are focusing, of course, the QR codes. I'm just going to bypass this slide. So today we're focusing on verses 13 through 26 of Luke chapter 23. You remember last week, we began to see the engagement with Jesus as he's on trial. So this is continuation here. It says, Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, you brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him. But the whole crowd shouted, away with this man, release Barabbas to us. Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, crucify him, crucify him. For the third time he spoke to them, why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him. But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. Lord, add a blessing, we pray, to your word. So just to quickly summarize what's happened in this passage, the crowd demanded that Barabbas, who was a murderer and an insurrectionist, be released to them. The crowd wanted Jesus, although innocent of all the charges that they had claimed against him, they wanted Jesus to be crucified. And Pilate tried to satisfy the crowd, saying he punished Jesus first and then release him, but the crowd insisted all the more, nope, we want Jesus to be crucified, at which point Pilate gave in to the demands, crumbled under the pressure, and released Barabbas and handed Jesus over to be crucified. One thing I want us to consider, because this is, of course, an account of an innocent man, Jesus, being handed over to be executed. But I want you to remember that Jesus willingly gave up his life. We see this in John chapter 10, verses 17 through 18. It says, "The reason my Father loves me," Jesus is saying, "is that I lay down my life only to take it up again." So we have a Lord who willingly gave his life, died, and then was resurrected. He says, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord." He has authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. "This command," he says, "I receive from my Father." So Jesus, in obedience to the Father, lays down his life. But nevertheless, as we even spoke this morning and we had our fellowship question around unity, and we're talking about being unified around the right things, and with looking at the climate that we're in our country, nevertheless, even though in this case, Jesus is willingly giving up his life, so they're just playing into the hands of the Lord in terms of his will for Jesus to die for our sins. Nevertheless, this account of a crowd wanting a murderer and an insurrectionist to be released to them, and a leader capitulating to the demands to condemn an innocent man, it compels us to revisit once again, as we did last week, what kind of leaders do we have? Looking at the conditions in our country, what kind of leaders will we support? What kind of leaders will we be? So let's continue to wrestle with those questions as we consider the state of our country, as we consider the people who are suffering, as we consider the people whose lives have been and will be lost, as we consider injustice, as we consider the impact that we can have as believers to be ones who stand for truth, to be ones who promote the teachings of Jesus, to be ones who exhibit love. Let's really wrestle with this. But here in this account, we see that as the soldiers were taking him away, they see Simon and they describe Simon as a man from Cyrene, and they put the cross on him and made him carry the cross behind Jesus. So Simon Cyrene is enlisted to carry the cross. We're going to look at this a little bit with Simon from Cyrene. And I wanted to share this map because, number one, it illustrates where Cyrene is located. Where's Cyrene? Cyrene's in Northern Africa. And I thought it would be good, just even in light of Black History Month, thinking about this man who comes from the continent of Africa. He's in Northern Africa, Cyrene, and likely coming to worship. As we recall from last week, this was a time of Passover. So there were lots of people coming into Jerusalem. So Simon from Cyrene was probably one of those believers coming to worship at the temple during Passover. But I want us to just note other people from Cyrene who had an impact in terms of biblical history. So it was after Stephen was stoned to death, later on the death of Stephen being stoned to death, and then believers from Cyrene were among those who traveled to Antioch and told the Gentiles about the good news of Jesus. So we see people from Cyrene having an impact in the early church. And so one of the other things to note about Simon from Cyrene is a reference in the book of Mark to Simon as the father of Alexander and Rufus. And it suggests the way that he's introduced in Mark as the one who carries Jesus's cross that he's the father of Alexander and Rufus suggests that Alexander and Rufus, and those sons, were known to the early church. So just a little plug here, as we talk about disciples, and Pastor Rockland again sort of described what a disciple is, someone who follows Jesus, is being transformed by Jesus, and is committed to the mission of Jesus, and therefore they're a disciple maker. And so I want us to remember, and the mention of these sons from Cyrene reminds us that our family is fertile ground for discipleship. So a key place for us to engage in disciple making is within our own families. So I just want to remind us of that. But looking at the fact that Roman soldiers required those who were condemned to carry the crossbeam to the place of their crucifixion. So there were two parts of the cross. One is the upright post, and that's often fixed in the ground ahead of time. And then the crossbeam is carried by those who are being condemned to crucifixion. They have to carry that crossbeam to the point of crucifixion. And that crossbeam could weigh 70 pounds. It could weigh 80 pounds. It could be like having a huge bag of concrete on your back carrying that crossbeam. But soldiers required those condemned to do so. However, we see with Jesus that Jesus, although he also carried his cross, we see this in John chapter 19:17. So like every other person who's condemned to crucifixion, Jesus apparently was carrying that crossbeam himself, but apparently he was physically incapable of carrying that crossbeam all the way to the place of execution. And the book of Mark gives us some clues as to why that might be the case. And this is such a difficult chapter in the book of Luke to discuss, because it really highlights the suffering that our Lord Jesus went through on our behalf. But Mark gives us some clues as to why couldn't Jesus carry the cross all the way to the place of crucifixion? Well, Mark gives us some clues. Jesus was flogged. Jesus was repeatedly struck on the head with a staff. Prior to being crucified, he was flogged. And I want us to just discuss, what does it look like for someone to be flogged? And here is an illustration of the whip that the Romans would use in flogging. And it's a horrific image to just see, but it's a whip. It's called a flagrum, the Roman flagrum. And it consisted of these leather thongs, and they embedded within the leather thong pieces of metal, pieces of bone. And it was designed, it was intentional for that flagrum, for that whip to tear flesh. It was a brutal form of torture. It was so severe that the loss of blood from the flogging that, again, rips flesh, in some cases exposing bone, that the loss of blood, the people going into shock from the flogging alone could result in death. So why was Jesus too weak to carry his cross all the way to the point of crucifixion? Why did Simon the Cyrene have to be enlisted to carry the cross? Because he was flogged prior to being crucified. He was hit in the head with a stick several times in the head. And with this flogging, the Jews understood that the severity of the damage and the pain from flogging could be deadly. So they limited the number of lashes from flogging to 39, but the Romans had no such restriction. They would flog until they got tired of flogging. So this is what our Lord endured for us. And in light of all that Jesus suffered on our behalf, I want us to see what it says here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He himself is talking about Jesus. He bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Again, we're talking about Jesus, the righteous King. And it says, by his wounds, you have been healed. So I want us to be encouraged this morning in light of what Jesus endured for us to receive, number one, spiritual healing. This is when we talk about being a disciple, one who follows Jesus. So when we follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit takes a residence within us. We are spiritually healed. But not only that, I want to encourage us to pray for physical healing, pray for emotional healing, pray for mental healing, and trust God with the results. Now, you'll see my caution here. This is not a litmus test for our faith. Please hear me. It's not a litmus test for our faith. It's not a name it and claim it fashion in which I'm encouraging all of us to pray. But we should pray because God calls us into partnership with Him to bring about His will. And when He wants to heal, He enlists us often to partner with Him in prayer. So I want to encourage us to pray for healing and then trust God for the results, because whether we see the healing that we long for or we don't, we can trust God with the results and know that He is faithful and know that He loves us and know that one day God is going to return and then we'll have resurrection bodies. We will be completely healthy, whole. There'll be no more suffering, no more pain, no more tears. But until then, there are signposts that we experience in terms of God's healing, these promises that we can take advantage of now. So, in light of the suffering of the Lord, I want to encourage us to pray in partnership with Him because He paid the cost for us. So, looking again at the account of Simon the Cyrene, it reminds us of what Jesus said about carrying our cross. And I want us to look at these two passages of scripture. One was the passage in Luke, which we read. It says, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. And looking at Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 35, it says, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And then goes on to say, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. So, as we look at the account of Simon the Cyrene, who carried the cross, again, behind Jesus, following Jesus, carrying that cross beam, we are reminded of Jesus's words to us to take up our cross. So let's look at again, and we're going to spend just a few minutes. I know we're on Zoom today, so we want to not have too much time, and we give people a chance to stretch themselves a bit, and we want to have plenty of time for discussion. But I want us to look at this call of Jesus in terms of taking up our cross. Number one, there's a call to make a daily commitment. Let's just go back there again. It says, take up our cross daily. So it's making a daily commitment. And I want to remind us, in terms of making a daily commitment to take up our cross, that yesterday's gone, tomorrow has not yet come. So we don't want to be stuck in the past, and we don't want to put off for tomorrow what we can do today. So this call of Jesus to take up our cross daily is one I want to encourage us to take to heart. And what does it look like for us to not be stuck on the past and not to put off for another time? I mean, I appreciate, and given that this is a day when we're thinking about sports with Super Bowl Sunday, I appreciate having gone with my grandson to a basketball game. And this was a couple of days ago on Friday. I went with him to a basketball game. And when we arrived, we got there just a few minutes after the game had started. His team was down like 9-0 with this basketball game, where I could see them in the huddle with their coach. And one of the things that coaches will do, especially when the team is down, they may help them to see where they had errors, what they did wrong, but not to be stuck there to, now this is the moment that you can do something new, that you can do something that's going to move us forward. So forgetting the things that are in the past, but not putting off until, not giving up, like, okay, we just blew it. There's no reason to even make any type of changes. No, let's make the change now. And his team prevailed in this particular game, which was exciting. But yes, making a daily commitment as we're taking up our cross. And what does that cross represent? And you see this image here. And for those who first heard Jesus making this call, they would have been very familiar. I mean, it's hard to imagine crucifixion being a familiar event, but for this society, this was a familiar image of people, like in this illustration, bloodied with a crossbeam across their shoulders. It was humiliating. It was painful. It was a symbol of shame. So, are we willing, as followers of Jesus, to endure as we're called to, in those moments when we're called to, or we're willing to endure discomfort, pain? Are we willing to sacrifice? Are we willing to endure humiliation or shame for the sake of the gospel? Taking up our cross, it means surrendering our lives for Jesus. It means surrendering our lives for the gospel. And I want us to look at what the gospel is. I'm so excited about the fact that the instruction for us is that whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for Jesus and for the gospel will save it. That's what the scripture says. And what is the gospel? Remember, the gospel is the good news. What's the good news? That the kingdom of God has arrived. And what does the kingdom consist of? The king and the king's people. So when we surrender our lives, it means that we are prioritizing. It means that we are saying to the Lord, your will be done, rather than my will be done. There are times when those are aligned, but there are times when the Lord's will is for us to deny ourselves, as it says there. Deny ourselves. It means that we are not living for our own pleasure. That's not the top priority. It doesn't mean that God doesn't allow us pleasure and joy and happiness, but we hold possessions loosely. We hold those things we hold dear, we hold them loosely compared to the Lord, compared to his will, compared to his kingdom. They are much lower in priority. We're prioritizing the things of the Lord. And we are following Jesus. And this is important for us to remember, that as we are taking up our cross, we're following. We're not just taking up the cross. We're taking up the cross and following Jesus. And by following Jesus, we're paying attention to what Jesus says. We're paying attention to what Jesus does. We're paying attention to what Jesus values. We've been reading and soaking in the gospel so we get a sense of who Jesus really is, who he was when he was here in human form on the earth, and what he taught and what he challenged and what he celebrated and what he criticized. We're absorbing all of that. And we have the Holy Spirit residing in us so that we can be sensitive to the move of the Spirit of the Lord. So we're following Jesus as we're taking up our cross. So we're gonna close here. I want us to have sufficient time to engage together in discussion. But let me just pray for us as we close out our message for this morning. Lord, we thank you, first and foremost, for being our Lord and King. We recognize that you died for us, for our sins, that we might be cleansed. We thank you that you were resurrected. We celebrate, Lord, you were resurrected, Lord. And Lord, you called us to take up our cross and to follow Jesus. So help us, Lord, as we endeavor to be obedient to you. Thank you for your great, great, great love for us. Lord, we have faith in you. We have comfort by the fact that you love us, that you never leave us or forsake us. So we pray that you have your way. Guide our discussion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I'm going to stop sharing my screen.
Amen.
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 Hey, Corey. All right, so I'm going to pass it over to Pastor Rocklin's going to lead our discussion.
You've been listening to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. We hope you've enjoyed your flight. As we prepare to land, please leave the belt of truth buckled around your waist and keep your life in an upright position. If you would like to support this program, or if you simply want more information about Life Church, please visit our website at lifechurchboston.org. As you go on with your day, please remember, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. Please put what you've just heard into practice in your own life, then teach it to others and watch God's kingdom take off around you.